This is the Reading Instruction Show. I am your genial host, as always, kindly old Dr. Johnson. And this podcast is coming as an excerpt from my book, Understanding the Science of Reading, Full Colon Context Matters. It will be published by Guilford sometime in 2025. Research to support the three cueing systems. Now, in this chapter that I'm writing, I have included many more citations than are necessary. And that's because science of reading enthusiasts insist that there's no research to support the three cueing systems. However, as you see, if you read my chapter excerpt on LinkedIn or other places, or if you buy my book, I've got a plethora of reference citations to actual research in which they collected data and sent it to academic journals that were peer-reviewed, the whole thing. So let's take a look at this. First of all, a predicting machine. Our big human brains have evolved to become very efficient predicting machines. They're constantly accessing multiple data sources in order to give us a sense of what will happen next. Most of this is done at levels below our conscious awareness. For example, baseball players are able to run to just the right spot in the outfield to catch balls because they can predict where it's coming down. Their big human brains instantly process a variety of information related to the sound of the bat hitting the ball, as well as the height, the speed, and angle of trajectory. The same prediction process is used in language comprehension and reading. Here, our prediction machine uses semantic, syntactic, and phonological information to make micro-predictions about words and meaning during the process of reading. Very much like baseball players catching pop flies, this enables us to efficiently and effectively create meaning with the print before us. Let's look at lexical priming studies. Priming research examines how something that comes before impacts that which comes after. For example, it examines how what precedes a target word impacts, one, the speed and accuracy of word recognition, two, the movement of the eyes during reading, and three, the organization of things stored in the brain. Let's look first at semantics. To isolate the semantic element, subjects in priming studies are often asked to recognize words in sentences and other contexts. For example, the cat chased a blank mouse, and the cat chased a blank round. In these studies, subjects were able to recognize target words faster and more accurately when they were preceded by related things. Clearly, readers in these studies use semantic information, or the semantic cueing system, along with letter information, phonetic cueing system, to recognize words and create meaning with texts. Now, here are some relevant findings related to semantic cueing. And there are four of them, and these are all cited. One, semantic information enhances comprehension. Yes, there's research to support that. Two, semantic priming results in faster word recognition time and enhanced accuracy. Yes, than just using phonological information. Three, training with clothes to develop semantic cueing improves comprehension. And four, clothes skills learned apart from reading transfer to real reading situations. And a clothes, for those who don't know it, C-L-O-Z-E, is a sentence in which there is a word missing, and the reader must use the context clues to understand. It is a way to develop the semantic cueing system. All right, let's look at syntax. Similar types of priming research studies have been conducted with sentences in which syntax was isolated as a cueing mechanism. Again, it's clear in these studies that readers were using syntactic information, or the syntactic cueing system, along with letter information, phonetic cueing, to recognize words and create meaning. Here are 5 bits of relevant findings related to the syntactic cueing system. And again, if you see my page, you'll find a plethora of research studies cited. 1, syntax contributes to reading comprehension. 2, syntactic awareness is correlated with reading comprehension, comprehension monitoring, and reading achievement. 3, syntactic information contributes to enhanced word recognition. 4, training students to develop syntax using sentence anagrams and sentence organization improves comprehension. And 5, syntactic awareness facilitates reading comprehension. Let's look now at phonics. To isolate phonics as a variable, subjects are usually asked to recognize words or nonsense words in isolation. Here, syntax and semantics are eliminated as variables. But unlike syntax and semantics, you can't compare phonics to some other cueing system because all written words contain letters. And besides, we've always known that teaching children to use letter sounds to sound out words improves their ability to use letter sounds to sound out words. This has never been in question. The question has always been, is instruction that isolates a single cueing system more effective than instruction that includes all 3? And the answer is, wait for it, no. While research has shown that phonics-based instruction can and lead to increased scores on phonics-based measures, there's little transfer of these skills to authentic reading conditions. And there is little evidence to demonstrate that heavy phonics instruction has any long-term effect on students' ability to create meaning with print. Now, the National Reading Panel, which is cited quite often, they did quite a thorough study of this. And here are some of the relevant findings related to phonics from the National Reading Panel report. 1, the impact of phonics on comprehension is limited. 2, phonics instruction contributed only weakly, if at all, in helping poor readers apply these skills to actually reading text. 3, there were insufficient data to draw any conclusions about the effects of phonics instruction with normally developing readers above first grade. 4, phonics instruction fails to exert a statistically significant impact on poor readers in the 2nd through 6th grade. Now, the National Reading Panel also identified 6 ways to teach phonics, and it found that each of these were equally effective. Synthetic phonics, that's putting letter sounds together. And our science of reading friends, that's the only kind of phonics that they want. Practice sounding out words and putting them together. Analytic phonics is analyzing words that are there. Find the sounds in. What sounds do you hear in this word? Embedded phonics, phonics within the context of real reading and writing. Analogy phonics, known as large unit phonics, teaching students to look at letter patterns and phonograms. Onset rhyme phonics, taking the beginning of a word and connecting it with the rhyme or phonogram. D plus am equals dam. And phonics through spelling. Okay, this has been the Reading Instruction Show. I hope you learned a little something today.